Good morning. How are we this beautiful cold day? Wasn't it fun to take that first step out of the house? That was intimidating, I gotta say. It was funny because I like check my watch right before I leave because I'm like trying to figure out can I make it without a coat? I hate wearing a coat. You know, and I'm from North Dakota, so I think I don't need one. And I looked at my watch today, and I'm like, yeah, I probably should have a coat on. It was 12 degrees. I was like, no, I'm not that good. Anyway, folks, we are gathered together again in our Father's house to give Him praise and thanksgivings for all that He has done for us. And if we take even a moment to just slow down a little bit, instead of all the busyness and hubbub, to just stop and think about all the blessings that our God has given us. You know, isn't it crazy how busy we are? We don't even stop and think about all that kind of stuff. But we are blessed. And this morning we're blessed to be welcome in His house, that He brings us in and that He serves us, that He teaches us, that He guides us, He encourages us, He strengthens us. He gives us everything that we need because He loves us that much. And so as we are gathered in His house around our Father, let us begin remembering the day that we were brought into the family of God and the gift of baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, so much for this beautiful day that You have given us, Lord. Another day that we get to live out the faith that You have put in our hearts, Lord, that we can love others as You have loved us. Lord, I pray that You would strengthen us because we're not very strong and not very effective, and we certainly can't do any of it without You. Lord, I pray that You would be here among us, strengthen us, help us, and give us, Lord, all that we need this morning because You are the loving God who knows what we need and want to deliver it. All this we pray in Your name. Amen. Let's confess our sins. It is correct that when we come into our Father's presence, that we lay our sins at the feet of the cross and receive the forgiveness that Jesus earned for us. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto You all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended You, and justly deserve Your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray You of Your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death of Your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, Your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's return praise to our God.
To the God who heals, we sing to the God who sing, shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Oh, God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We were the beggars. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners. Now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. 'Cause we were the beggars. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners. Now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. There is salvation, purchase of God. With His goodness, lost in His love.
My name is Lars. I'm one of the elders here, and it's my privilege to read the scripture. Our first reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and by the brother of Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with those all everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, grace and peace to you from our God, Father, and Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Lars. It is now time for the children's message. So kids, if you guys would go, wait, is it not? Oh, I got to read first. You know what? We used to do it the other way. And every once in a while, my brain does a throwback and it tries to do it the old way. I'm sorry. I apologize. Here we go. The scripture verse for today is John chapter 1, verses 29 to 42. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated, is Peter. Now it is time for the children's message. And so kids, come on forward at this time. And Mr. Lewis has the message for us today. Or Mr. Johnson. What do I do? I don't know.
Oh, good morning. As Pastor Bob said, it's a little chilly outside. Oh, come on. I know we've got some more kids. How's everybody doing today? Good. That is good. I'm glad to hear that. I want to talk to you about something that Pastor Bob just read, and it was actually in the first reading as well. And as I was thinking about today, this is something that stuck out to me. It says, and this was in the first reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is verse 7. And it says, "Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed." And then Pastor Bob was just talking about in the second reading, he was talking about the Spirit. Do you remember? Well, no, you don't remember. So I already answered my own question. But when you were baptized, whether it was here at St. Mark's, I'm sure the pastor said these words: I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that means that because God loved you so much, he sent his Spirit to be in you and to live in you and to guide you. And sometimes we listen and sometimes we don't. And often, a lot of times, we don't listen to that Spirit, God speaking in us, but God is with us. And I thought about a gift. And I know we just celebrated Christmas. And I thought, you know, what would be a good image for you to kind of take with you as you think about the Spirit that God placed in you, that he has given you because he loves you, and he wants you to listen to that Spirit, to listen to him, because he's always talking to you, always telling you what you should do and how he wants you to live. But that Spirit also, because we don't always do what God wants us to do, that Spirit speaks to God for us. Even when we don't know what to say, the Bible says the Spirit speaks in things, words that we can't even understand on our behalf. So I want you to think about that. And then one other thing, when we talk about the Spirit, in Galatians, it talks about gifts of the Spirit and fruits of the Spirit. So it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, which I know is a big word, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of those things are how God, through the Spirit, is in us. And he wants us to share that with everyone that we come in contact with. Because did God make everyone in this world? Yes. We are all children of God, and he wants us to live that way and show that to everyone that we meet, okay? So I just want you to remember that. So let's bow our heads and repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for pouring your Spirit into us. Help us to show that love and joy to everyone that we meet. And guide us and direct us until we are with you again. And all God's children say, amen.
Thank you, Lewis. Outstanding. Mr. Lewis, Mr. Johnson. The thing is, around here, I'm Pastor Bob, so it's very confusing. I don't know how those things work anymore. All right, folks, we are talking. Let's do the sermon. Aristotle. You guys know anything about him? He was kind of a smart dude, yeah. Here's the thing. I mean, he wrote a book on ethics. He did a whole bunch in philosophy. But in addition to all that, he was a tutor for Alexander the Great. I mean, that's kind of cool, right? I mean, while he was a tutor for Alexander the Great, he started a library, and which was another amazing thing in the ancient world. So there was a lot of... And I'm just scratching the surface. You want to look into Aristotle? He did a lot of stuff. Amazing guy. But he wasn't there in a vacuum. Guess who his teacher was? Plato. You hear him? Yeah, another great philosopher, right? Somebody who, the mind's in a cave and all that crazy stuff. You know, he came up with all kinds of interesting things, but he didn't start out of nowhere. Who was his teacher? Socrates. You know what I'm saying? And so here's the thing. We are used to this idea, right? That a great man full of wisdom would take on a disciple, right? Somebody who they would instruct and to teach, and that they would give as much information to as they could, help them learn how to think and how to act and what to do, and then that person would then carry on the work of their master and at the same time also find another disciple, right? And so what we have in the text today is not that. It's just strange and out of order, okay? And what I'm saying is it's not what we're used to. Because ideally the way this ought to work is John the Baptist ought to be the guy out in the wilderness, right? Being led by the Spirit, teaching and doing all these things, right? And Jesus should come along and be his disciple. You know what I'm saying? Because John's already out there doing this stuff, and Jesus should come alongside John and learn from him. Is that how this went? No. John and Jesus come into contact with each other at Jesus' baptism, right? And Jesus comes up to John and says, hey, I'm here to be baptized. And John says, what? You understand a relationship here, right? I mean, this isn't a mystery to John. John knew a long time ago exactly who Jesus was, right? When do we know that John knew who Jesus was? Remember when Mary was visiting, she just found out she was pregnant, and the angel told her that her cousin Elizabeth was also pregnant. And so Mary went to visit Elizabeth, and as soon as the baby, John, in Elizabeth's womb, heard the voice of Mary, he jumped, which had to be comfortable. I can only imagine. Haven't had that experience myself. But the thing isn't that the craziest thing? I mean, John knew before he was born who this Jesus was going to be. He grew up knowing this. It was a relative of his. They must have known each other growing up, right? And now Jesus comes to be baptized. John, knowing who he was, said, you should baptize me. I shouldn't baptize you. And Jesus' answer was awesome. It was basically this. Let it go. It's what has to happen. You know what I'm saying? It's like, let it be done to fulfill all righteousness is the English translation of it, which is basically just saying, trust me, let this go. You know, this is the God's plan, right? All right. And so now we have John, and he's coming into contact with Jesus again, and he sees this Jesus, and as soon as he sees this Jesus, he preaches a little sermon. And the sermon is not building up himself. I mean, nowadays, you know, he's sort of, think of John the Baptist as an influencer. All right? I mean, he was out in the wilderness getting a following. And he had a really good shtick that kind of made people look at him. He was dressed in camel's hair, and he ate bugs and honey. Now, who wouldn't want to go see that? You know what I'm saying? And then on top of that, he's out there preaching all this crazy stuff. And so people literally left the town, walked all the way out into the wilderness just to hear him talk. And it was working. He was getting a following. Now, I don't know how he got paid from this. YouTube wasn't around yet. But nevertheless, he was getting a following. And what you would expect somebody to do with a following is to try to maintain the following, right? Get more people. John got this wrong. He basically, as soon as Jesus showed up, said, look at him. He's the one this is really all about. Behold the Lamb of God. He's the one. And later on he says, he must increase, I must decrease, right? And the people took John seriously. I mean, two of his disciples who were with him after he said, behold the Lamb of God, went, huh, and stopped following John and started following Jesus. Because John knew his job, even though he was there first, his job was simply to reveal to the people who Jesus is. That was his whole job. His whole job was to bear witness to the Messiah, to be the one who came before, to be the one who pointed him out, to be the one who would direct people, not just to a message of repentance, but to the one who can actually forgive sins. And that was John's job, and he did it well. It didn't come without cost. First of all, he had to eat bugs. Don't make light of that. That couldn't have been pleasant, right? But unfortunately, it wasn't much longer, and he was put in prison. And he spent a long time in prison, right? And Jesus was out doing his ministry, and John's sitting there in prison, and John's thinking back to Isaiah, where the Messiah, when he comes, he's going to be declaring prisoners free, and he's like going, this sounds good for me. I kind of like this idea of being freed. This sounds good. But he sat in prison a really long time. And finally, one day, he sent some of his disciples to Jesus saying, what's going on here? I mean, are you this Christ, or we should be looking for another? I mean, what is happening? Because I'm not free. And here's the thing. John never was free after that. It was a little bit later that there was some household drama in Herod's house, and his head was literally served on a platter, which was not John's idea of a good day. But John continued to serve, even when it cost. Now we got the new disciples. They're all being gathered together, right? And this is a happy time because it's like the two disciples that were with John that came to follow Jesus were excited because they found the Messiah, the one that they've been waiting for. And they were very excited about this, so excited that Andrew went out and found his brother, right, and brought him over so that he could meet Jesus too. And this was a very happy time for the disciples, but were their lives always happy following Jesus? I mean, they also struggled. All three of the disciples that are mentioned in this verse all died martyrs. You know, they were all killed for their faith eventually. It was tough. They had good days. I mean, it was awesome walking around with Jesus and watching Jesus heal people and watching Jesus put the Pharisees in their place with his amazingly wise answers. And it was awesome when they actually got to go out and do ministry and do healings on their own. And it was an amazing thing on Pentecost when all of a sudden they received the Holy Spirit and they were able to preach. And then they actually started going, you know, and spreading God's message throughout the world. And it was incredible, unbelievable, amazing, great days. But every once in a while, there were days that weren't so good, right? But isn't it funny how we talk about that, right? Days that aren't so good. How do you know a day that's not so good? Because it doesn't work out for me. Funny thing that we're about to head into Lent, right? And what is that last day of Lent, or one of the last days of Lent, right? The Holy Week, last, you know, coming toward the end of Holy Week, what's that day? No? Good Friday. That's a weird name for that day. Was that great for Jesus? That's the day he died, suffered and died for us, right? Are our bad days always as bad as we think they are? Are sometimes the suffering and the difficulty that we go through things that God is putting us through because we are his disciples? Right? Because here's the thing that disciples do. Disciples listen, or they, first of all, they spend time with their master. Right? You got to be with them. They learn from their master, and they become like their master. Right? And if we are following, like the disciples and like John, if we're following Jesus, isn't it rather expected that we would also suffer because to Jesus? Right. I mean, and here's the thing. Jesus died so that we can go to heaven, right? I mean, he literally on the cross took our sins upon himself, took the guilt of our sins, said, I know you don't deserve this. I know you've messed up. I know you've fallen short. I'm going to take all of that stuff that's weighing you down, all of that stuff that makes you guilty, take it upon myself and pay the penalty. You know, the wages of sin is death. Somebody has to die for this sin. I will die for this sin for you. And in exchange, I will give you credit for my perfect life. And this is the exchange that Jesus makes for us. And because he willingly suffered, because he willingly sacrificed himself, we get to be saved. And we follow him, which means we willingly sacrifice ourselves so that other people can be saved. You understand how this works? There's people all throughout the world who have not heard the gospel of Christ. They do not understand what it means that Jesus died for them and how he earned for them eternal life. They don't know it. They don't get it. What does it take to get them the message? It's going to take effort. It's going to take willingness. It's going to take servants who are willing to go. It's going to take people who are willing to send them. It's going to take educators that prepare the people for the trip. It's going to take people who are willing to support that missionary while they're abroad and make sure that they have everything that they need. It's going to take people who are organizing the trips and funding the trips and paying for the trips and keeping the money straight. It's going to take logistics people. It's going to take a ton of different people. It takes experts. My son is over in Romania right now. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod actually has two guys. Their sole job is to watch geopolitics and make sure our missionaries are safe. How many people does it take to do missions? A lot. How much money does it take to do missions? A lot. How easy is it to do all that work and to raise all that money? Isn't it fun to give away money sometimes? I mean, here's the thing. It's like, you know, whenever you give money away, you always have to stop and think, what would I have done with that? Because here's the thing. That's what sacrifice is. If we are sacrificing ourselves so that others can be saved, what it means is I will now do without something I would have otherwise had for the benefit of another person. You understand how this works? If we're giving and it doesn't affect our life at all, then we have to ask questions about that, right? I mean, am I doing everything I can? Is there more that we can do? Because this is God's mission. It's God's will that people be saved. God's will that his people would get this message out. And the question is, are we doing everything we can? Or is there more we could sacrifice? My friends, the sacrifice is not just money either. I mean, obviously not. Sacrifice is effort and time. Sacrifice is all these things. And all these things we do to do God's work in the world, to love the people that he loves. My friends, we found the Messiah. We know where he is. We know who he is. We know what he loves. We know what he's done for us. We know what he wants. The other question is this. Is it worth the work? To answer that, I would love to talk to the people who go to Guatemala or the kids that go to Arizona. The amount of joy that these missions bring the people who are doing the work is amazing. The joy of knowing that we're actually doing what God made us to do. The joy of knowing that we're actually making the difference in the world that God wants us to make. Is it worth it? Yeah. Truly it is. Because more people that Jesus loves will hear about him. Let's pray, my friends. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are our master, that you are the one that we follow. that we are spend time with you, Lord, that we listen to you, that we strive to be like you in being willing to carry the burdens of others, Lord, so that others can believe. Lord, I pray that you would continue to strengthen and be with your people. Help us, Lord, to see the needs in the world around us and to be eager, Lord, to sacrifice so that others can live. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's confess our faith using the words of the second article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your teaching. We thank you for revealing yourself to us, Lord. We thank you for revealing to us, Lord, how you love us, how you've died for us, how you have saved us, and how you are right now, Lord, in heaven preparing a place for us to take us to the place where you are. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all of us, Lord, as we continue to do your work in this world. Help us, Lord, to boldly and to with all passion, Lord, carry out the work of your love, Lord, taking care of the people who need care, Lord, helping, encouraging the people who are struggling in many ways. Lord, I pray that you would continue to give us wisdom, give us words in the proper time, Lord, so that we can be a blessing for your people. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with our all the people of our church, Lord, those who are struggling with illnesses or injuries, Lord. We pray especially, Lord, for Ed and for Clara, Lord, as they are in rehab. I pray that you would continue to give them strength and energy, Lord, and help them, Lord, to recover so that they can get back to their to the lives, Lord, that you have for them. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with, Lord, those who are serving us in local government, our aldermen and mayor, Lord, that you would give them wisdom to lead us well. And Lord, that you would be with them at all times, bless them and their families, Lord, so that their minds are free to serve your people. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with the families and especially the children of our congregation. Lord, let the faith that you have given to us be passed on to them. Let them continue to grow in faith in you, Lord, so that they can love you and trust you, rely on you more every day, so that in all circumstances they can have peace in the knowledge that you hold them in your arms. Thank you, Lord, for all of these things. And we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. On the night that our Lord and Savior was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Feel my faith rise, maker of heaven.
was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name. Receptive souls reaching shall blossom in action for God and for all. His grace did invite us, his love shall unite us to work for God's kingdom and answer his call.
Receive the Lord's blessing. Well, we just did. I mean, we received the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and through it the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation that we need so desperately to get through this life. We have been blessed. But now let's depart in peace, knowing that our God is good for his promise, that he delivers what he promises, and that we have been blessed in this way. And as you go your way, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together.
Declaring the word of the Lord. days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. Let the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. The fields are as white in the world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah.
Please have a seat. I can't ever hear that song without thinking about our youth ministry a few years back, where we every hour we had to sing the song at the top of our lungs in the van with motions. It was rocking. Anyway, that was hilarious. Anyway, first of all, Guatemala door offering next Sunday for a door offering to help with the cost of the trip. We're going to be leaving on the 31st. Of January. That's a lot closer than I think it is. Construction, we have some really broken up sidewalks around here. And so January 19th and 20th, they're supposed to be here to break it all up. I'm sure that's going to depend upon temperature too. So I don't know exactly. You know how these things are. We schedule as best we can. But the front entrance is going to be broken out on Tuesday, and they're supposed to report the same day. So then that front entrance is going to be out of commission for one day. I don't know. We'll find ways into the building, I guess. Let's see here. New member class begins next week. So if anybody would like to be part of that new member class, please sign up. And you can sign up on the website. The yard signs. Don't forget, if you guys have a yard and want to put a sign in it, we've got a few extra ones to advertise our school. And I just want to apologize. Look, folks. Okay, here's my life right now. My son, the one that just had brain surgery, I'm taking him back to school today. And so we got him all ready and loaded up last night. But anticipating taking him back to school, I didn't sleep at all last night. So I'm really tired today. So please have mercy on me. I am definitely not on top of my game today. Blessings, folks. I really, really, really love worshiping with you every single week, mostly because we have an insanely amazing God, and you guys are a people that he lives in, and it is amazing to watch. Blessings, folks.